I wanted as a church to reflect on the last 3 to 4 months of service for the Lord. So, from December to today, or from one carol service to the next carol service. So call it quarter one, if I could be so bold, in dividing up the year. But I want us to consider your part in the walk of this body of Christ. I really think it's important we just pause. We just reflect on what's gone on. I'll be reading shortly a list of all that has happened in this church. But it does not even touch on the grace of the Lord that we've received in answered prayer in this first quarter. Think of the wonderful union of Ashish and Olena. I remember less than 2 years ago, this was just a prayer. A request to God, a prayer for a partner for Ashish, if I remember correctly, given at the Knockbridge prayer meeting. Those at the prayer meeting, or Ashish for that matter, may not have known who Olena was, but God knew when that prayer was said. Or Gavin and Linda getting a house, another answered prayer, and grace delivered. Again, think of the prayers that have been offered up. But also how God was moving behind the scenes for these prayers to be answered. So we all have our individual stories demonstrating God's provenance and grace. But I want you to listen what's taking place in this body here in Dundalk. We signed off the 2025 budget. A creche came back into service after how long the creche was not in service. We had a blessed carol service. We had the Christmas shoebox appeal. In January, the men took on those windows behind me for 6 weeks. We fixed the roof in January. We had 2 fellowship meals. We had a successful AGM. We had 1 Easter camp for the kids. The parents got together to bring back the kids Monday evenings. We agreed as a church to help Community Connect. And now we're a depot for Community Connect. We had 10 weeks with the ladies' study on Psalms, and what a blessing that was for the ladies. And we decorated this church twice, for Christmas and for Easter, and with the flowers in the front. We even painted Mick's place, we painted the entrance hall, and we revamped the creche. That's a lot of service. Did you honestly think we did so much in just 3 months? The list scared me a little bit. Like answered prayer, we seem to just overlook it. We don't see God active in our lives. We don't see this grace in our lives. God moving in our lives. And we need to celebrate this and tell others about it. So the message today will not be focusing on what we've done and saying hooray, but why did we do this? Why did Les ask the men to go out in the cold of January to do the windows? And why did Tim beat the drum with his fun text that he did every week to force everybody to come out? I want to understand the why. I want to understand it biblically, the understanding of service. And then obviously look forward to our next phase. For me personally, seeing the work that is done is so encouraging. It genuinely fills my soul with joy. But it's joy in seeing people grow in their sanctification with the Lord. The service is that fruit that you want to see in people's lives. And I love when different people show up. New faces doing work of God. And the chats that go along with that. And the collective desire of the kingdom that is to come. Sometimes for me, I have to slow down. Stop selling the vision and swallow this big word. Are you ready for it? Patience. I have to take a deep breath and relax, even though I wanted the creche done last year. But we must be patient. and let it happen in God's time, His unique and deliberate way. God has a purpose in service. The creche this year was God's timing, and wow, did it turn out well. And that's what I want to talk about today. How does God want me or you to serve? When is it enough Saturdays that we have to go out in the cold? Is it six times, or is it just one Saturday? Or is it to serve in another way? So there's a right way to serve, and there's a wrong way to serve the Lord. We're going to divide the right way into four parts. The why, or the condition of doing service. So let's call it the biblical benchmark. And then the second point is, does the gospel really have a help wanted ad to do service for the Lord? The next point we're going to look at is, does the Lord does not want us to serve for Him in order to be saved? We're going to understand that. And then the fourth point is, through God's strength only we serve. So let's look at this condition for service for the Lord. We serve first and foremost with a smile. Willingly, not because Tim sent me a text. Sorry, Tim, but we have to blame somebody in this sermon. Huh? But because the Lord has brought that person to serve. Think about that statement as the sermon develops. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Spurgeon did an amazing sermon on this particular verse. And he hits the nail on the head. If gladness or willingness is not first in our mind before picking up that paintbrush, or singing here weekly in the music group, or watering the plants outside, whatever your role is in this church, then my warning is, sit down and just take a break. And think, does your heart want you serving in this church, or is there something else that your time has been called to, which is not of Christ? Listen to Spurgeon here. Serve the Lord. Men's hearts are naturally atheistic. They will not endure the thought of God. The most of men are careless and indifferent to their heavenly King. They remember all things else except the God who made them. We find them willing to serve their country, or serve science, literature, art, trade. But as to serving God, they'll have none of it. The spirit of this age is too much of that Pharaoh. Who is the Lord that I should obey this voice? This philosophical mindset, and it seems to involve obscurity to serve a being who we cannot see, whose voice you cannot hear. If you listen to those words from Spurgeon, we fall into this. It's our default. Everyone is guilty of it. However, there's a jewel of hope. As the same sermon, and I quote, the man who has once known, who has tasted that God is gracious, and be made enter into the Lord's covenant of mercy, and has seen under what obligations is laid to the loving kindness and tender mercy of Jehovah. To such a man, the very thought of serving God is liberty. We get his liberty, this loving kindness and tender mercy of Jehovah in serving the Lord. The taste of service for the Lord is sweeter than honey. But it's the spirit of God's grace within us that drives us. Think about it. How the men were saved from the ladders. And by what grace did that happen but that of God? how the Christmas carol service landed and went so well. And in turn, we're going to be praying for tonight. The grace that all the ladies received in the last number of weeks in preparation for tonight to sing and prepare the snacks. The visualization of how the creche was going to turn out and the work that enabled it. This how is by the work of his grace within us, in us serving him. And in turn, we become stronger. We become more faithful. And we grow in our sanctification through his Spirit. And there's one last quote from Spurgeon, and I quote, "To serve God is to reign. He who obeys the King of Kings is himself a king." Boy, that man really had a way with words. So to the next point. Is there a help wanted ad in the gospel? Well, hopefully most of you are going to say no. God is not looking for assistance in this world. The gospel is not a help wanted ad. God is not looking for people to work for him, but rather he is working mightily and through our weak and feeble men and women, just like us. Listen to some scripture as we expand on this theme. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those heart is blameless towards him." Chronicles 16:9. Did you see the condition there in that verse? Support those whose hearts are blameless towards him. Or 1 Corinthians 3:9. "For we are co-workers in God's service. You're in God's field, God's building." Or Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us." Liam and Niall, you ready? I'm going to try and convert this whole kind of scriptural thing into a sports example, because I know you both love sports. So you can appreciate this understanding of what it's about. This understanding of being able to work in God's field or building. God is not looking for the best basketball player to help his Christian team win the basketball game. God is that unstoppable player on the team, the player who gets basket after basket, score after score, but for anyone who trusts in God to win the game. Let me repeat that. For anyone who trusts in God to win the game. And the game, fortunately, is not basketball, guys, but life. Sometimes we think we cannot do creche or Sunday school or a job in the church, but God is going to help us achieve that. No matter what the team, from the music team to the pastors, God can perfect us in what we do. I'll give you a story. I remember when Stephen asked me to fix the sound system. Now, if the truth be told, I looked at Stephen twice, as I knew I was not an expert in this. And still to this day, I'm a certified tech dinosaur. So don't ask me to fix anything from a technological perspective, because it's not going to work. This was not good. And the best was the reinforcement of the comments that I got. The responses from the people that came out to see this system and, you know, to get quotes. Let me repeat or kind of give you some of the things they said. They turned around and said to me, "This should not be working. How do you want me to upgrade this system?" Meantime, Les said, "No, experience in sound or putting a sound system, don't mind putting a stage together." The sound job was a great lesson in trusting I'm being forced to pray to the Lord for help. Hence, anyone who trusts in him will win the game, or in this case, the sound system. I remember even when Andrew, Andreas, and myself were putting this thing together, and one of the carpenters was working inside putting in some of the things, and he turned around and he said, "Oh, guys, you can't do this." But it was a practical example of how we had to trust in the Lord. The Lord was working in multiple levels of grace, having men pray in order to work. A church moving from a temperamental sound system to one that worked every Sunday. And the example to the men and women that assisted on that task. That we could land it. We could deliver it. Hope and grace and prayer, we grew as Christians in service. What did we produce? Fruit. Fruit for the Lord. But the Lord, when he saw the end product, he did not look up the heavens and the world and say, "How am I going to do this?" Listen to Acts 17, 24 to 25. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he's needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." This tells us that God cannot be served in any way. Nor are we going to meet his needs. After all, he's the one that gives us breath. So if God did not need us, why did we all go out on these January mornings? Well, most of us would answer this question, well, we did it because it was the right thing to do. We had the energy to do it. There was a need in the church and we were going to do it. The problem with this answer is, it is partly right, but we don't see the spiritual reason why Jesus helps us. Piper has a great analogy to illustrate this. He says, and I quote, "The difference between Uncle Sam," in other words, the U.S. Army, "and Jesus Christ in recruitment is that Uncle Sam or the U.S. Army will not enlist you unless you are healthy. Jesus, on the other hand, is not going to enlist you unless you're spiritually sick. We need to complete a task which in turn gives him glory." And this leads me nicely on to the next point. The Lord does not want us to serve him in order to be saved. This is for the young Christians here. Our justification in Christ does not come by works, as we read in Ephesians earlier, as if serving the Lord could ever save us. Justification only comes in the faith in Christ. However, serving gladly from the heart is evidence that we have been justified, that we have been saved, and that we have the righteousness in Christ. Listen to Romans 4, 4 to 5. "Now to the one who works. Wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness." The workmen or people who serve in this church get no gifts, get no wages, as God is the true workman, and we must trust in him. Liam, he's the great basketball player. God gets his glory of being the benefactor of grace, the giver, not the beneficiary of your service, the receiver. Let's rather look at the relationship through the lens of Psalm 132, verse 2. In working for our master. "As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows his mercy. The good way to serve is like that maid who looks to her mistress for mercy. So we need that continuous grace to serve. The moment we start to negotiate a partnership with the Lord, then we revolt against our Creator. God does not barter. Our Christian life is not a negotiation. And this brings us lovely on to our next point. Through God's strength we serve. Think of the working of for the Lord as almost being you in good health. The marker of that is the doctor or your weighing scales or what the nutritionist says. But we need to be connected to Christ for our daily bread, for in prayer and in scripture. Otherwise, this affects the fruit we produce. Listen to John 15:5. Our productivity or strength is in Christ. I am the vine. You're the branches. You remain in me and I in you. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Good service in the eyes of the Lord is and fundamentally receiving mercy, not rendering assistance. A great example of this was young Pedro, who helped me in the creche, and just seeing him laughing and enjoying when he was painting. Or better still, when he was laying the floor. Kids love computers, but on that day, that kid was just full of the grace of the Lord. Christ was strengthening Pedro. For ours, he helped us. And I say thank you to Pedro for serving the Lord. Though no Baptist church, the only right way to serve is in the way that reserves for him all the glory. Listen to 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, they should do it as the one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So based on this, and after all the service we did over the last 3 months, this service was God's strength. Look at it from another perspective. The preacher that preaches from a pulpit. Do you want to hear that man or God's words? Do you want to hear my stumbling voice or where I lose my place on the page? Or do you want to hear the instruction via the Holy Spirit? And when you're instructed, praise is always to God. If the word of God affects and moves your soul, it's to him, to his glory. Over the last number of weeks, a number of visitors has thanked me for the service. But most importantly, to encourage me. And all of them have said the same thing. Of a spirit-filled church. A church full of the grace given by God. The mercy he gives us all. Let's embrace this grace. Pray for it. Understand it. Listen to Paul's words of evaluating himself as an apostle in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Let's continue to work hard for the Lord. But remember the fuel that strengthens us within us. God's grace makes who you are. It made Paul. Grace is what defined Paul. So what's God's will? Listen to Philippians 2:3. For it is God who works in you to do his will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. So sincerely, as a pastor in training in this church, I'm in awe observing this level of grace that has happened in this church over the last 3 months. Allow me to remind you of the list. We signed off the budget. The creche came back. We had a lovely carol service. The shoe boxes. The men outside there in those freezing 6 weeks. We fixed the roof. The fellowship meals we had. The successful AGM. The kids camp in Easter. The folks bringing back the kids Monday evenings. How as a church we helped the community connect. We became a depot for them. Then the 10 weeks of the ladies studying the Psalms. We decorated the church twice, once for Christmas, now for Easter. We painted Mick's place, painted the front hall, and revamped the creche. That is so much grace and mercy. I'm going to ask you all just to bow your heads for a moment and acknowledge that grace and thank the Lord for his bounty. This privilege to serve him as he strengthens us. Let the Lord, as he did with Paul, build you, define you as a person, as he is the creator of all, and we need his grace daily. Let us all just pray quietly to the Lord, just for a moment, as we absorb the grace that has been put on this church. Oh Lord, help us as a church, being in and serving in you. Give us the grace, the love, the understanding for us as a church. Give your servants the necessary grace to help one another along this road of sanctification. Your way, the very road of the union in Christ. We pray for faithfulness in this church. We pray for your servants of tomorrow. May we pray and get to know you personally in this task. Oh Lord, no matter what the task, help us as sinners to see the task as gladness. And to help us with deep willingness to do this task. And may we only see your glory in doing whatever task we put our hand to. Oh Lord, thank you for your strength and for your spirit. What you've done in this local church in Dundalk, we give you thanks. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, please be upstanding for our next song. My soul finds rest.